Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, January 22nd, 2011, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki or Ea. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. The seed that Enki planted, deep within human DNA, has awakened. The sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, that miraculous gift of Source, has begun to assert its sovereign right to stand as equals among the peoples of conscience. Now begins the new paradigm, one based on truth and sovereign responsibility. Welcome, humankind. New Eridu has been waiting for you.
Go ahead and complete my analysis of that interview. I also have some new material that I would like to present, and this one is actually via Colleen Thomas, who I keep threatening to have on this show and can't seem to get my act together enough to do. She changes so fast I can't keep up. Little bit of news that's interesting, this one came via one of the links that I got through Colleen Thomas. Apparently, and I've heard this a couple of other places also, apparently the perpetrators of all the chemtrail spraying has been identified, and the group that was named is called Evergreen International Aviation. Now, I have heard that name before. Supposedly, according to these sources, a CIA front. Well, I have heard that name before because I used to work in a company that remanufactured aircraft parts. And we got aircraft parts from these folks. And they were in all kinds of weird places. One of the places that was one of their focuses where they had a base was Panama. Now, Panama is going to come up later in the show, which is going to be a little bit interesting, I think, for everybody. When we find out what else is associated with Panama. So, we're about to look into a PSYOP, guys. We're going to take a nice deep look. The PSYOP I'm referring to was also featured on Colleen Thomas's show. And that was the show in which she did the public notice from the Global Settlement Foundation. The Global Settlement Foundation, I did a little bit of digging on them. I went and did a who is on their domain and started tracking around who was who in regards to this organization. When I did a who is lookup on globalsettlement.org, which is the page that hosts the settlement notice, I came up with a registrant name of Ray Servers GmbH. Now, GmbH always denotes a legal entity in Germany. So that's interesting just right off the bat. And the registered organization was Global Settlement Foundation. Their registrant street address was Plaza Obario Oficina 202 in Panama City, Panama. Now, isn't that interesting? And they have some phone numbers here, and I haven't had a chance to check those out yet. And then they also have a registrant email, which is gsf@gsf.li. Now, I believe LI refers to Lithuania. I could be wrong about that. I have not had a chance to run that one down yet either. But I think it's Lithuania. Okay, that's a little odd right there. At any rate, I did a little more digging on the Ray Servers company. And that linked me to a couple of things. The first one that it linked me to was the claim that they have representatives in Panama, United Kingdom, Sweden, Germany, Switzerland, United States, and Australia. That's kind of an interesting selection because I think all of those have had some kind of a tie with the English crown at some point in time. The old royal blood runs in all of those countries, as far as I can tell. So I don't know if that means anything right off the bat or not, but it did catch my eye. The next thing that I noticed was that their Ray Servers main office is, and I'm probably going to murder the pronunciation because it's Swiss, and I don't know how to pronounce these things. It's in Switzerland in a town called Unteraggeri. And when I did a little more looking up about Unteraggeri, what I found out on Wikipedia was that the name of this town used to be Oberigeri, which when I had it translated, the closest translation I could come up with was Hungarian. And it translated to have over. To have what over what is my question. So it sounds like this was a ruling center. Now, when I went and looked up the town in Wikipedia, it's like a town of 7,000 people. But it's like way up, you know, in the mountains. And who knows what's under those mountains. But the external town only has like 7,000 people in it. So that was kind of got my attention. Now it's Unter, and Unter means under. So it went from being over to being under. What on earth? That blows my mind. Considering all of the things about, you know, people going underground and dominions of land changing from, you know, being sovereign to being non-sovereign, that really kind of catches my eye big time. These guys would play that kind of game with the name and just put it right in your face because they figure you don't know the difference. Well, you start to learn how to read these things and you kind of start picking up on it. The problem is, once they know that you can read it, then they'll change the rules. So who knows? Just something to keep in mind. This site also was connected to a Sundarson.com, Sundarsson. And I looked into that a little bit, and the registrant contact was Joseph Sundarson, Joseph Ray Sundarson, in fact, which sounds very Americanized. And that also was in the same Unteregeri city. When I visited the racesavers.com site, the first page that when you open it up, it comes up with, let me see if I can find it now. I have a really interesting front page, infrastructure for a post-bailout world is the tagline at the very top of their page. And they're selling all kinds of services such as gold and forex services and things like that. All of these things, forex in particular, that's forex means foreign exchange. What it is buying and selling foreign currencies, trying to stay ahead of and second guess whether the market for that currency is going to go up or go down. In other words, when you say the dollar has been devalued, that means that whoever was holding dollars lost money on the transaction if they sold at that time. Okay? That's all that means. Now, you know, it's one of those fake markets. It's not a real market. It's all fictional. And I don't know what their gold services are like either, but I know there's an awful lot of fraud going on with gold. I'm not saying they're necessarily a bad operation. I'm just saying I'm suspect. I actually looked into doing Forex a few years back, and I decided it was too much of a fraud to associate with, even if there was a chance to make some money at it. Plus the big players, they skew the table, so you can't really play if you're a little guy. Let's see, what else? Oh, I went in and looked at the name Sundar, which is the root of Sundar Sun. Sundar would be the family name. And then Sundar Sun, in the way they set up the family names over there, you know, that means that person is the son of someone named Sundar. So I took a look to see what I could come up with. If I took the name Sundar and I placed it in dun-da-da-da, Anunnaki, and here's what I came up with. Now, both of these are fairly frequently used parts of words. Both Sun and Dar are frequently used. So some of the meanings for sun may include modesty, to enter, plural, to enter what? Humble with bowed head or dominated, or to mourn, to grieve, to fear, or to respect. Quarrel or discord, and star or shine brightly. Now that one's actually pronounced shun. Okay, so it's a little different. I'm not sure about that last one. Star and shine brightly might not be a correct cross-reference. Dar has a lot of different ones, but this is the one I think it is. And it's a verb to slice, split, or shatter, as in shatter a whole lot. So, yeah, you got it, Kush. You put it in the chat room. Thank you. It means beautiful in Sanskrit. No, Sudar. Is it Sundar or Sudar? But it means beautiful. Interesting. Anyway, it's just an interesting little mixed bag there. I don't know if it means anything. I have no clue if that's really the root of this. But I've had an interesting experience with translating various words and names of things into Anunnaki and figuring out what exactly it is that the word says. Because you can take almost any language and take it apart and come up with something that's kind of semi-accurate, even if you don't know the language at all. So I did that for fun. You're going to have to forgive me today. The cedar is in full bloom in South Texas, and even if you're not allergic to it, the little things look like grass burrs. So it's an extreme mechanical irritant. So my throat is not the best in the world today. Moving on to the next item. This is from Colleen Thomas's show for last week. So I'm running a week behind her on this one. And I'm actually thankful for her bringing this to my attention because it's very interesting. Even if I think that there is probably a large element of deception involved in it. Because it shows you what a possibility for what we could do legitimately might be. And this is the public notice that was posted by this organization I just told you about, the Global Settlement Foundation. And I'm going to read you the text of that public notice. And just so you'll have it, have the information, I'll give you, I think I have a link here for it. And that is, sorry guys, I'm a little slow here today. That's the globalsettlement.org, and I'm going to place that into the chat room. Can't talk and paste at the same time. And it's not letting me paste it. There it goes. So you guys might want to take a look at that website. Let's see. Public notice. The founders and trustees of the Global Settlement Foundation, parentheses, GSF, close parentheses, have released the finality of settlement part 2 on the GSF website. I didn't see a part 1, but I didn't dig maybe as far as I could have. There's a lot of stuff on that site. It lays out the facts of law, crimes against humanity, and extreme fraud. It will be served upon key de facto world leaders, as well as to those who are in charge of producing wealth. And notice how that said, producing wealth. Yeah. It is now on the public record worldwide. Feel free to mirror and distribute the PDF and this notice under the Ray Servers license. Now, something that strikes me about Ray Servers is it sounds a lot like Ra Servers, as in Ra, the Egyptian god of the sun. Again, speculation, but something to think about. Ah, thank you, Jason. You got the link on the part one. Appreciate that. Put that up in the chat room. The following statements may sound harsh, and we do apologize if any offense is taken. It is high time to address these issues of law, money, and crime against humanity. The implications in law of the multi-generational Ponzi fraud that is being harvested worldwide is staggering. If you are a de facto world leader and think that somehow you can isolate, quote-unquote, your country from this mess, you are grossly mistaken. If you are an industry leader who is attempting to take refuge in such leaders, you will be disappointed as well. If you are waiting for handouts as a, quote, settlement, you are likely in for severe disillusionment. If you think that the DTC accounts have, quote, money, wake up. The only lawful money is gold and silver, and it is long gone from the various treasuries. If a lender practices fraudulent conversion to monetize the instrument executed by the borrower becomes the true creditor. This is true worldwide on a national and personal level. Worse, the unit of account is a circular fraud, a 100% fiction with two layers of fraud, bank liabilities to pay legal tender and legal tender itself. Bank liabilities are not legal tender. If you did not know these facts, you have been defrauded. It is a statement of fact that the United States, the United Kingdom, all courts, and all legislative bodies are corporations. Look them up on Dun and Bradstreet. This pattern is repeated worldwide. We have no courts of law in the United States. The 11th Amendment stripped the courts of common law jurisdiction over law and equity, thus publicly stating that all treaties since then are void on their face since they cannot be enforced. Notice to military leaders, you cannot have a lawful war run by illicit corporations posing as legitimate government. A deliberative body such as the United Nations is one step worse. They have no authority under the natural and common law, the law of the land, to declare war upon millions of sovereign people of the land and cause harm or loss. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Thou shalt not cause harm or loss to another is the essence of the law. The full force of natural and common law is applicable at all times, in all places, and cannot be annulled by the declaration of emergency, war, or other device by any state or entity. We will attempt to contact every de facto world leader in their de jure capacity as one of the sovereign people of the land entrapped by circumstance. Most are entrapped, having discovered these realities after they have taken an oath of office. Did you know that the oath of office in America is a voluntary loss of American nationality? All oaths of office come under 22 CFR Foreign Relations Sections 92.12 through 92.30, and all who hold public office come under Title 8 USC Section 1481. Quote, loss of nationality by native-born or naturalized citizen, semicolon, voluntary action, semicolon, burden of proof, semicolon, presumption, period, close quote. The solution, lest humanity perish in the next world war, is a return to lawful money and a system of lawful trade. With lawful money, we can return to a just society, eliminate parasitic behavior, protect the environment, and remove forever the specter of annihilation. This is a public notice. Her Majesty the Queen of England, President Barack Obama of the United States, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton of the United States, Chancellor Angela Merkel, the President of the Republic, I guess that's France, Nicolas Sarkozy of France, yeah, that's just France, the reigning Emperor of Japan, Presidente della Repubblica Giorgio Napolitano of Italy, President of the Russian Federation Dmitry Medvedev, who I can't say his name either, President of India, whose last name is Patil, and the rest of it I'm not going to attempt. President of the People's Republic of China, Hu Jintao, who has his name spelled out in the caricature there. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon of the United Nations, in no particular order, amongst others, will be contacted as time and resources permit. If you are a military leader such as Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you need a copy of this document on your desk. If you are a Navy Judge Advocate General, you need to be aware of these matters. Same goes for USA and UK Provost Marshals. You also need to be aware of the Rod Class case that is before the US Coast Guard. The same goes for heads of major military forces. The pressure to begin the distractions of war to mask the frauds will only increase as modern money mechanics crushes the ignorant of all their property and strips the deluded rich of their imaginary trillions. We will also contact the BIS and all central banks, and those we believe are the financial powers, the intelligence agencies such as the CIA, FBI, MI5, MI6, etc. We trust that the various alerting mechanisms that the powers above possess will put them on notice of our lawful intentions to exercise our unalienable rights to a society of law, not fraud, by statute. I laughed on unalienable because everybody says that either inalienable or unalienable, and it's not. It's alienable. That means you can't put a lien against it. That means you can't attach it for security of the debt. Completely free and clear, yours, no question about it. Only armed with knowledge, we shall take on this task of restoring lawful trade. Let this proceed and do not hinder us. It is to your advantage in the end. Given all what we have said above, we do not seek publicity. We are only interested in parties who can set the natural common law, who can let the natural common law restore itself. For the natural law has never ceased to act. The alternative is to let nature act via the next great war and punish those who have done violence against it even if it be through ignorance. Public notice. The Global Settlement Foundation and its trustees are law-abiding neutral parties. We do not wish to cause harm or loss. Our duty is to return lawful trade and lawful money to the people of the land, the people of the Global Isles, by facilitating the return of the rule of law, lawful money, and accountability. Certain parties have, by their own actions, implicated themselves in crimes against humanity. Unfortunately, this list of people includes practically every head of state, legislator, government official, regulator, judge, and law enforcement officer, together with their partners in crime, the bankers to the world. The people of the land will have to rein themselves in and bring about justice via lawful grand juries. As a neutral party, our role is to provide the lawful alternative. However, dear reader, by proceeding to read the material in this document, you will have to take action or become party to the crime of misprison of felony. If you are a government servant, that is, an official reading this, awaken, do your duty to return to your masters, the people, that which is theirs by right, and that which has been stolen by fraud. If you take no action, hinder the efforts of the Global Settlement Foundation or the Sundarsan Trust, that's the one I was just talking about, cause harm or loss, waste our time, spread malicious lies or rumors, you will be held liable, subject to lawful arrest, arrest of your bond, arraignment in a lawful court of record or grand jury, incarceration, bills in lawful money, etc. Finality of Settlement, Part 2, a Memorandum of Law, Economics, and a Declaration of Trust and Passport of the Trustees. Okay, I'm about to run afoul of that last section because I think this is a fraud. And I'm saying this as from a simple point of view of looking at who it is, where they are, and who profits from this. Are we trading the old boss for the new boss, and they're the same boss, is the question. I want to see more than just words. I want to see actions. And until I see those actions, until I see that this actually supports individual sovereignty, I can't support it. I would love to, in principle, support it. But this has been played and played and played and played. Finally, our powers that pretend, apparently, have realized that they cannot continue to play the stupid ruling elite. They can't play the we're better than you card anymore without putting something up. The put up or shut up thing has actually taken some effect on them. I'm going to note really quickly here. They named a legal entity here, a legal territory. They are rebranding Earth as Global Isles. Now, if you know anything about that, you know about what our current judicial system is, we're under what they call admiralty law, which is the law of the sea. And what's under the law of the sea in most cases are islands. Because islands aren't big enough to be a country all by themselves, usually. They can't protect themselves. The most powerful thing that's on the island is going to be the admiralty. And the island itself and its population is therefore tolerated and used by the admiralty simply because they need laborers. So we are being branded, instead of being a planet, instead of being a sovereign planet, we're being branded an island. All right? Understand that you're being balkanized when you do that, that you're being told that you are a possession. So what they're doing is this language here is that they are trading the old admiralty for the new admiralty. And if you sign on to this, they probably don't have good legal claim on you through the old one. This is like those mortgages where they try to give you an offer to sign again, and they, you know, will drop you a percentage point or two to get you to re-sign the documents because they lost the original documents. And so legally, they don't have a claim on you anymore. This is the same thing. They're trying to get you to re-sign. They're trying to get you to do this again so that they can say, no questions asked, that this is their claim on you. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope that this is all coincidence, but I have gotten too old and too cagey to think that it isn't. So I will leave it to you to investigate this for yourself and to determine for yourself whether or not this is a legitimate thing. But for right now, I say, I claim my sovereign right as a natural person to decline their offer. And I have done it on the record. We'll see who knocks on my door. Back to last week's little stuff. Last week we were talking about the self-proclaimed Illuminati insider who called himself the Hidden Hand, who in 2008 appeared on Above Top Secret Forum, giving away information about the Illuminati agenda and their goals. And his key phrase out of all of the stuff that he said was, rules define life in games, telling you that your life is a game. You're living inside of a fiction. You're living inside of a simulation. And that your ability to understand the rules of that fiction, of that game, determine whether or not you're going to live or how well you're going to live. And that also, since this is a fiction, that the attitude of the rulers, too, is going to be very flippant. They don't care. You are a D&D character to them. So they really don't care if you live or die. And then there was Charles, the fellow who was interviewed by Bill Ryan of Project Avalon. And I'm going to quickly finish the notes that I had taken on that interview because I didn't have a chance to finish that last time. I didn't quite have enough time in the show. So if you can hang on for just one second, let me clear my throat. We're going to talk about what happened with Charles and what that means, particularly in the light of the document that I just read to you. Sorry about that. Charles defined the beast or the monster as the 33 bloodlines that he had identified as being the Illuminati families. And he intimated that because they control the money, that they control the world. Not because of the money itself, but because of the way that money could be used to achieve influence and power. It all boils down, they don't want money. They want power. They want to own you and everything you own. They want to have control over what you do with it. They want to control what you think, even. So that's what that's all about. He said the world is an area, quote unquote, the world is an area, and that money can be withdrawn from that area. And that's what's happening right now. It's like it's being sent off planet. And it really does seem that way. I had a long conversation with Aya regarding that back when he was still wearing the title Enki. And he told me that he thought that is exactly the case, that gold specifically had been taken off the planet and was being taken off the planet, large amounts, and that he did not know the reason for this, but he knew it had something to do with control. He's not in on it, so he can't tell me the whole business. Who's doing it? Why they're doing it? You know it's not good. And we got to. This is part of our puzzle to figure out. Is to figure out what they're doing, why they're doing it, and at the end of the day, how to get back what belongs to us. Or how to get to where it doesn't matter whether it belongs to us or not. That's the more effective strategy. Anytime that you have something that you want that somebody else can take away, they have a little bit of power over you. What we have to do is really to move to a moneyless system. And the Anunnaki had moved to that moneyless system. In fact, I haven't seen in any of the races that I've interfaced with, I haven't seen any use of money. None of them have it. It's all reputation-based. It's all role-based. You do these things for your civilization, and in exchange, you get everything you need, and then some, because everybody's building value for everybody else, and everybody shares, and everybody who comes into it from the outside may get greedy for a little while, but it eventually reaches a point where it's like, you know, yeah, I could have the world, but where would I put it? And it becomes a burden. Professionals here on Earth that declutter people's houses will attest to the fact that people reach a certain point where their possessions own them as opposed to the other way around. Because of the amount of time it takes to maintain them, to know where everything is, to keep them in order, to keep them fixed, it really is better to have less. And anyone who is civilized and is living in a civilization where there is no real need, it cuts the base off of Maslow's pyramid is what it does. Since you have no real need, you are freed to work on the things that really matter to you, the things that you really care about, and to work on your improving yourself. It's those base structures of Maslow's pyramid where a human race has been entrapped. And that's why we need to raise the level of the sand around that pyramid, just like these other races have done. Raise that baseline so that we don't have to worry about who can control us using food and water and health. Raise that. And raise it in a way where it does not make someone else responsible for you. That is just abominable. Each person is responsible for themselves. Now, somebody's going to say, what about those people who are handicapped, etc., too old, whatever? Let me tell you, there's not that many of them. And if they all have everything that they need, they won't be a burden on anyone. There's plenty of excess capacity from those who are well, who are capable of being productive. Everyone would get taken care of. You just have to trust and let go. It really is a case of you've got to trust and let go. Let go of the old system. And be prepared to step up. There was times when I was younger. I'll give you an example of how this might work from my own experience. I lived in a neighborhood that was poor. We were all working poor. And I was one of the younger people there. My family was one of the youngest. And I had two little kids, one of whom was handicapped. And a small house. It was only about 800 square feet. But I had a huge backyard. I had fruit trees back there, and I had a big garden. And I had a peach tree that bore more peaches than I've ever seen a fruit tree bear. It was the ugliest tree in the world, but I was carrying 5 and 6 grocery bags of peaches to the curb to give away when it was bearing every day for like a month. I mean, hundreds of pounds of peaches on that tree. And that garden produced all the food that I needed and left plenty more for me to put in sacks out by the curb so that anybody else in the neighborhood who needed food could come by and pick up a bag of food. And I set them out, and 2 hours later, they'd be gone. People were taking them. They needed them. And occasionally, I'd get a thank you. Most often, I didn't, because they were embarrassed. The reason I put it out there was because they knew they could take it from that position without being seen. So, that's how I gave back. I had more. I worked hard in that, maintaining that garden. And I had more than I needed. So I gave it away to those who needed. And I had an elderly neighbor who needed help around her house every now and again. And I would walk over there every day. I'd knock on her door. I'd see if she needed anything. And if she needed something, I would do it for her. Nobody paid me to do that, but it was the right thing to do. And in exchange, she occasionally would give me something. Not money. She just had something she didn't need, and I was talking about something. She goes, here, just take this. So we traded like that. It was informal, and it was because we were friends and because we were members of a community. I had another family that lived down the street, and the woman was a drug addict. No nice way to say it. She was a drug addict, and she was, I don't know if she was a prostitute or not, but she sure acted like one. There was men coming and going all the time. And she had a daughter that literally would run around with essentially nothing on, little 4-year-old girl running around with half-dressed, if at all. And I took that kid in during the day because she needed a safe place to be, and she needed food. And I didn't have to do that, but I did it because it was the right thing to do. And I tried to get that family some help. I don't know if it worked out or not, because I think she got put in jail not too long after that. But where we are in our communities, there's always the opportunity to serve others. And if one person serves only one other person who needs the help, don't serve somebody who doesn't need it. I mean, we all occasionally will need help. Like if I need to build a deck or something, I may call upon my friends to come over and, you know, have beer and barbecue and build a deck. That's different. I'm talking about constant low-level support to keep other people, either other sovereigns, in that state of sovereignty. We can do that. And by doing that, we can transform our civilization into one that needs money to exchange for everything, back to one where everybody's doing pretty much what they want to do for a living. Sure, somebody's still going to have to pick up trash. Sure, somebody's going to still have to go dig ditches. But, you know, there are actually people who like that kind of work. And there's ways to deal with it if they don't. Okay? It can be part of a community service program of some sort. These things can be dealt with. And they will be. if we all come at it with the right attitude. Back to our Charles. What he said is that, and here's something that's a good measure when you're looking at these alternative media sources. He says that 70% of all alternative media is nonsense. Well, I don't know. He wouldn't go into what the other 30% was. He wouldn't give an idea of the characterization of that 30%. So he changed the subject on it. So I suspect that it's probably the other way around. It's probably 30% of it's nonsense and 70% of it is accurate. So I suspect that was a little flip that he did. And what he said was that the crackpot who comes up with an idea will find that his life gets easier. Well, I take that to mean that, and I've seen this happen with others, is that all of a sudden avenues will open up for someone, and they will start to be able to make money with their crackpotism, whereas they hadn't before. And what they don't know is they have somehow come into a situation where they're being handled. Somehow or other, money or access is being used to guide them in the direction that will serve the powers that pretend, while not necessarily alerting the individual who's doing this that they have fallen into that trap. I suspect pretty strongly, if you notice how they use the media to gate people into decisions. Remember I said, if you're ever given two decisions, find a third. If you're ever given three decisions, find a fourth. However many directions you can choose to go, there's always another one. And the easier ones are the ones that are more likely to bring you into a situation that can be controlled by the powers that pretend. So think about that as you go about your daily business. Have you ever gotten into a situation where you're stuck between, I can't do this and I must do this? I'm actually faced that this week. And the question was, I have to go back to work because I have to make money. I must return to traditional employment. And on the other hand, I can't do it because I know it's the wrong thing to do. I know it's playing the game the way they want me to play it. So I'm struggling right now to figure out how I can manage this. What's my third alternative? Where is my third alternative? And all of a sudden, some money started manifesting. It's not a lot of money. It's nowhere near enough money. But after nothing, something. So maybe the universe is listening. On the other hand, I think if somebody was to walk in the door and say, I have $10,000, take a show on the road, I would be pretty suspect of that, and there would be a long discussion about, you know, what are you going to do in return, and do I have complete control over what and how I do it? And will I ever see you again? Because if they say, "Oh, I'm going to be helping you and guiding you," it's going to be like, "Nope, bye, my show, my dealings." Not for sale. So I guess I'll never be rich because I'm not. According to Charles, you have to be a jerk. You have to be a particular kind of jerk to be rich. He basically said that they use money as a way to sort people, to grade people on, you know, what kind of villain they are. So, just, I guess I'm not a good enough villain. he also said that we're a great joke to the powers that pretend. They watch our media and they listen to our shows and they sit around and howl with laughter. And that was one of my comments on the other day was, you know, go ahead and laugh. I don't care. You know, if you had nickels worth of sense, you'd be scared. You should be scared. If I was sitting in your chair, I'd be scared. But he said the tinfoil hat is part of the joke. And let me tell you what he means by the tinfoil hat. You know, we use humor to guide behavior as a species. How we learned that, I don't know. When I grew up very isolated. And I did not understand humor. I got into school in first grade, and I had Well, I just got kicked off. Sorry about that. where was I? I have an interesting scratching noise also on the line. So I don't know if my computer, my connection, or what. But just FYI, I do have a scratching noise on Skype. We have been taught as a species to ridicule those among us who are different. And they have used that ability that we have to control us or to cause us to control one another so they don't have to. They're very, very lazy. They want us to do they want us to do the work for them. They want us to be our own slave masters so they don't have to. So they can sit back and giggle at us instead. And, you know, in the media, if you watch the media, watch what they're making fun of. Odds are good what they're making fun of has a grain of truth in it. And sometimes it's a whole big basket full of truth. So use that humor aspect to find the things that may be more true, because that's what they're trying to steer you away from with the humor and making the joke about the guy with the tinfoil hat. Well, you know what else? I suspect that if you actually did wear a tinfoil hat, or if you did actually turn your house into some kind of electromagnetic Faraday cage, that you might actually notice a difference. I know my office is, for some reason or other, and I don't know why it is, I seem to have a good bit of shielding here. It can be a storm coming up outside, and I'm the kind of person that's very sensitive to storms, and I won't know what's come up. I can't feel it in here. It's like a cave. I'm in a little hole. It's very comfortable in here because of that. But, you know, something to think about. What are all the ways you can look at the idea of the tinfoil hat? What's the truth that's actually in there? Because if it's so funny to them, it's got to be something good for us. Let's see what else he said. He talked a lot about the people. people that are doing the spraying of the chemtrails and all of the genetic engineering of the plants and such. And I'm going to read a little bit from my notes here. He accuses the villains of being, quote-unquote, you lot, meaning all the people who take the money and run, who don't report what's going on. They're already corrupted. There have been people that were in prison and were recruited out of the prisons to, you know, do the dirty work of poisoning people and putting stuff in food that doesn't belong in food and so on and so forth. He also said that that people know about companies who are going to turn off the switch. And the context he was talking about, it was pretty clear he was talking about Monsanto and perhaps other large agricultural firms. The turning the switch off is specifically a reference to genetic engineering. That is the genetic switch that causes a plant not to be able to replicate anymore. It develops a fatal mutation, and it no longer can replicate. My guess is they have probably been spraying plant viruses that are getting ready to go through its number of cycles, its number of generations, number of cycles of cell metabolism before that genetic switch goes off and the plants will become non-viable. And that's going to affect, if they are doing that, that is going to affect not only the genetically engineered stock that has not been adapted to it, assuming that there is any, there's probably some, but it will affect natural plants. And we're talking things that are just growing in the wild. So we think we can count on having plants in the wild that we can wildcraft and we can learn to eat off the land. That might not be a valid assumption. If they are genetically engineering a kill switch into open land, we might not have that option. There are possibilities of doing sheltered farming. Farming in greenhouses, farming inside your home, etc. Possibility that that might still work for you if you can get a hold of some old seed that hasn't been contaminated yet. So just something to think about as you're going along. Store food. And don't tell people that you've done it. Let's see, what else did he say that was interesting? He was saying if you live in Brazil, you'll be okay, but not if you live in Africa. I don't know why he picked those two. I really don't, nor do I know if it's true. He referred to us as hamburgers with legs. Okay. Hamburgers with legs. Now, doesn't that sound like something that David Icke would say? That would be coming out of a reptilian's mouth? all those people that say, you know, I've always said they don't eat us. Well, what if they do eat us? You know, what if they do think of us as cattle? I don't know. But that sure is a creepy thing to have said, no matter what. Maybe he just wants us to think that they think that way. Maybe that's really not how they look at things at all. They probably don't. But he wants to creep us out and see who he can get to raise the hackles up. That might have been in there specifically for Ike and that bunch that fear mongers for the reptilian bunch. Honestly, the Anunnaki, the story that Ada told me about the Anunnaki and their initial relations with the reptilians was that there was a huge freaking fight amongst the reptilians regarding how they were going to behave as a civilization before they even met the Anunnaki. And that the side that wanted them to be nice people, like we would consider them to be nice, versus the ones that wanted to be the power mongering, ruling class, you know, lizard folks. The bad guys won. But they didn't, from what I can tell, annihilate all of the good guys. So there's a chance that there may be some reptilian faction out there that is still okay. Don't count on it. Just store it in the back of your mind and don't judge automatically. If you see something that's scary looking, it might not be. Judge on actions. Judge on what they say and what they do. Particularly on what they do. But more than that, after you've gotten past the initial shock of the programming kicking in and telling you you're looking at something scary, think about how they make you feel. But take that deep breath and wait on it. Because know you are programmed. So, hamburgers on legs. Well, you know, who's a White Castle and who's a McDonald's and who's a Burger King? I'm Beefalo. Let's see. He said that they look at the world like a company that is in liquidation. They look at the world as a company that is in liquidation. What does a company do in liquidation? Well, the first thing they do is they send in a hatchet man and lays people off. And then they sell off the assets. Well, I think both of those things are going on right now. He also said that it was, quote unquote, sequence driven. And that's got to be some kind of a key word in business. And I have not been able to track it down yet. So if anybody has an idea what sequence driven may mean in terms of business and context of liquidation, let me know. Because I want to know what that phrase refers to. He said that they thought it was okay to kill 300 to save 30,000. Well, that doesn't support their percentage of, you know, guided population reduction. So I suspect that that is probably not an accurate statement. And he also said that planet Earth is broken, and this is their best solution, to reduce the population, to liquidate the company. And went on to, if they had, you know, that it had a lot of deep thought about it, and had, if they could have come up with a better idea, they would have. Well, I don't think so. I think we can come up with a better solution. I think we, humans, can come up with a better solution than these guys. And that's not a selfish statement. The fact that he's telling us and dissuading us from trying to come up with their own solution, because these guys are so much smarter than us, and if they couldn't figure it out, what chance do you have? Well, just the fact that you told me no makes me want to go do it, okay? So be careful of those knee-jerk reactions, though, because they can get you in trouble, because they will play that. They will play that against you. You get so used to, I know you have my worst interests in mind. Therefore, everything that you say, I'm going to do the opposite of. Don't get into that trap. Think your way through it. Be logical. Be cold. Never do anything out of anger. Never do anything out of fear. Be logical, but listen to your heart and listen to your gut. Align those things. Don't get run like a rat through a maze. He said the idea of one Messiah is completely ludicrous. That almost makes it makes an argument for there being one. But, you know, we're our own. Each one of us is our own savior. As a sovereign, that's what you must be. You are your own downfall, and you are your own savior. That's part of being sovereign. He hinted that the stuff that we're seeing out in outer space is actually life forms, living ships, or maybe living creatures that are able to navigate in space. I suppose it's possible. I don't think it's highly likely. But, yeah, there should be a few things at least out there that could live in space. They've found that bacteria and viruses at least can survive a plunge through the atmosphere. There's actually, they found some bacteria that had come from Mars in Antarctica. And I don't know how they figured this out, but they did. And I believe that if it's buried on the cold side of the rock and the rock is big enough, it's possible. These things encapsulate real well. It takes a lot to kill them. But now he's talking about something larger, though. Talking about global currency and one world government as being the logical way to do it. Of course, that's probably the way that we need to go in one direction, but not in the reestablishment of a new global currency or a new global government. What we need to reestablish is a global attitude, what I was describing earlier. A global attitude that gets away from governments, gets away from monetary systems, and puts things on a real, provable, practical, reputation-based, sovereign standard of behavior. We are adults. We will act as adults. When we need to do something, we will do it. When there's something to do that needs to be done because it's the right thing to do, we will do the right thing. And we don't have to have powers that pretend standing over us like our guardians. I won't call them our parents because they're not very good parents if they were. They're more like, you know, the guardian who's stealing from the kid's trust fund. We don't need to have somebody telling us what to do. We are at the point where we're capable of doing that for ourselves. And it's time we have to insist on it. I think I'm done with this guy. He's at least imaginative. He might know something. He might even have been Hidden Hand from back in 2008. That may have been a trial balloon to see how it would work. Well, I'm curious to see if he's going to show back up again. I'm betting he will. Now, something else he said in there is that if anybody calls you on something, if somebody notices that the powers that pretend are getting ready to do something and they predict it, that guarantees they will not do it. And I think to some degree that might actually be true. Because to them, all it does is cost them a little time, and they don't see time the same way that we do. They take an extremely longer view of things. They're in no particular hurry, although at this point they are in a little bit of a hurry because of the ascension process. They cannot get the handle on it. They cannot stop it. It's happening. And they can't stop it. So they're feeling some time pressure. And this may be the first time in thousands of years that they felt any time pressure. Not like vampires and that. You know, you look at the vampire movies and the vampire, you know, he talks about how many hundreds of years till he gets his revenge or whatever, you know. They're like that. They think that way. So the thing that's being called lately is that the Queen of England is going to step aside and it's going to go to Wills, which it probably will. Oh boy, what a loss that was. You know, we were kind of hoping that he would turn out decent, but it looks like he didn't. Well, he might prove me wrong. Who knows? I don't think that bunch can. I'm digging myself a hole with the powers that pretend with this show. I might as well just go ahead and throw it in there. let's see here. I think I'm going to call it quits on this section. And while I give my throat a little rest from the cedar pollen, I'm going to play a song by J.P. Corwin. This one is called Find Myself, which is what we need to do.
The camera never lies, you know, and mirrors are no better. Cheaters never win, they say they leave your heart in fetters. Beauty's only skin deep, they say I am the beholder. But angels seem to spend their time looking over their shoulder. Everybody wants to disappear. Everybody wants to fly. They say anyone can find their wings. Yes, I close my eyes and feel for mine. Can't run away from who I am. Can't keep my pride and hang my head. Can't change the world and match my inside. Stop on a dime and change my ways. Walk through the walls out of this maze. Got nothing left to lose and everything to gain. It's time I find myself again. The sky is falling, yeah, the days are getting long. But the nights won't seem to end for me. This fire won't leave me alone. It's not the end I wish for, but wishing won't return the key. I'm just sick of sirens, sick of fanfics, sick of games of WLCE. Sometimes I want to disappear. Sometimes I almost fly. If it's true, anyone can find their wings. Yeah, yes, I'll close my eyes and feel for my heart. Can't run away from who I am. Can't keep my pride and hang my head. Can't change the world and match my inside. Stop on a dime and change my ways. Walk through the walls out of this maze. Got nothing left to lose and everything to gain. Myself.
we're back.
I see some interesting chat going on in the chat room about chemtrails and blocking the sun and DNA activation and so on and so forth. And I've shared this story, I think, in the past on this show, but it wouldn't hurt to go over it again. The other day, I was out, and it was a beautiful, absolutely stunning morning. Sky was completely clear. It was deep blue. There was no junk in the air whatsoever. And it just felt like the UFOs were like going to land right in front of me. I could feel the contact was so intense. It was like they were really right in front of me. There was no blocking whatsoever. So whatever these influences are that are coming into us, be it from extraterrestrials or angels or ascended masters or whatever it is, they block that. And I don't know if it's the sun necessarily. The sun has its own effects. But specifically, I noticed that. And then I had gone inside for a while, and as I mentioned, my little office here is very quiet. Not very much gets in here. And I went back outside, and I'm going, oh, I don't feel it anymore. Oh, man. I'm sitting there wondering if it's just me being psychological, right? Until I get outside, and the sky is absolutely covered, wall to wall, on chemtrails. It had gone from being beautifully, perfectly, pristinely blue to being crisscross, cross-hatched solidly with the stuff. So they've got some way to monitor where there's a hole. And they dispatch the planes to go spray our friends Evergreen Aviation to come spray us to oblivion. Make sure we can't make that contact. Make sure we can't have that upliftment. Because that's what it feels like. It was so uplifting to have that open door and have that contact and have a feeling that, you know, things are going to be okay. No, can't have that. Got to shut that down. That was kind of interesting. It gave me a very clear object lesson in what exactly those things are doing. Now, they probably are doing other things, as I said. They're probably spraying viruses and crap with it. You know, I don't know what all is in it. They've been, pretty universally, they say there's barium and, I don't know, other heavy metal type stuff in there. There's also different types of it. I think they change what's in it according to what they're trying to do. So, yeah. You know, I wish I had known all of this stuff back in the day when I had contacts in aviation. I might have been able to find out more information, but you know, back then we were all innocent. We didn't know. I'm talking about the late 80s, early 90s. You know, I didn't know to ask. Didn't occur to me that this was even a possibility. As I have said before, and will say again before all is done, you cannot defend against an attack you don't know is possible. If you don't know something can be done to you, you can't defend yourself from it. You'll never see it coming until it's too late. Because first you have to learn it's possible, and then you can do something about it. And they use that against us all the time. So, our defense is better than a tinfoil hat in this case. It's our imaginations. Don't be afraid to imagine. Don't be afraid to imagine what could be done to you so that you can defend yourself. But don't descend into fear. Be proactive. and just figure out what you can do to protect yourself. Figure out what you can do to shut it down. If you are in a position where you can do something, do it. Okay. That's going to be part of redefining ourselves. You know, that we're coming into an exciting time. And in China, that's kind of a curse. May you live in exciting times usually meant there was some kind of political turmoil, which meant there was a good likelihood that there was going to be some kind of violence and possible loss of property and life. So this is an exciting time in that regard. But it is also an exciting time as far as opportunities are concerned, because every time when there is change, there is also opportunity. You have risk on one side and opportunity on the other. It's the yin-yang of change. I look at it this way. The human race has been held as children for a very long time. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, the attitudes of people were very black and white. And I don't mean that as a racial reference. I mean, it was either this or it was that. Right, wrong, etc. Religion was very simple. The emphasis was, you know, follow the Bible, follow your religion, your religious teaching. And it's exactly this, and there's no deviation from it. No room for interpretation. Very simple. Life was more simple. Relationships were more simple. You knew very specifically what the expectations were, and you knew what you had to do to meet them. These days, not so much. It started other places earlier, but for me, growing up, it started in the 60s, in the middle 60s. But it really didn't take root until the early 70s. Because I lived in the South, and I lived in a very conservative area, so the change was a little slower to percolate here. And that was rebellion. That was us as a race starting to enter the teenage years. You know, teenagers, they're trying to differentiate themselves. And that the first way, it's like, you know, the toddler differentiates himself from its mother by going through the terrible twos where everything is no, 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 no. That's one step of defining self. Well, teenagers go through a similar phase of rebellion. Instead of saying no, 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 it takes on more sophisticated ways of being rebellious. As they attempt to differentiate themselves from their childhood, from the role of being a child. And that's necessary to becoming an adult. So teenagers will rebel and they'll experiment. If you look around in the world, what do we see? Rebellion and experimentation. We have seen experimentation with drugs. We have seen experimentation with business models. We've seen experimentation with governance models. We've seen experimentation with sexuality, with redefining what a family is. All of this kind of experimentation going on and rebellion against prescription of behavior. The emphasis on the differentiated individual will, which wasn't ready to be the sovereign will yet. So it took some perverse forms. A lot of times people couldn't tell the difference between what they will and what they want. W-A-N-T. And the want oftentimes was louder than the will, because they were still young and didn't know, didn't understand, did not know themselves. In magic, that's a big deal. Learning the difference between what you will and what you want. If you understand your will, that want becomes subservient automatically. Because you become aware of the fact that if you chase down that want and it's not the right thing for you, you have done yourself a disservice. Teaches you a little patience. Requires you to grow some discernment. We are now entering what I would term our young adulthood. We are in that phase where we are defining ourselves and our relationships with others and with society as a whole. You know what happens when you go off to college or you enter the workplace for the first time or you go into the military? There's a hazing that goes along with that. There's rites of passage that you have to go through to get there. And what we're facing here with our global situation and insisting on our rights to self-determine and to be sovereign and to restore natural law as derived from source, we have a passion in our belly for that. A lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm for that. But we're also naive still. We're still gullible. And we can still be preyed upon by other people. And we're going to make mistakes. We have to make survivable mistakes. That's the trick. And as a young person, you know, they go out and they party too much maybe and they get involved with the wrong people. Maybe they take the wrong job. Maybe they, you know, think that they want to do one thing with their lives and it turns out that wasn't quite the thing. So they have to readjust. And the earlier you make those readjustments, the better off you are because the less time you will have lost, the less resources you will have spent in the wrong direction, the less hole you have to dig yourself out of. So that's where we are right now. We're coming into that stage of very brand new shiny sovereignty where, you know, it's like you turn 18 and all of a sudden you're an adult. Well, what's the difference between today and yesterday? It's just a number on a piece of paper. Well, we're kind of the same way with our sovereignty. We have passed through the stage of being the child, but we don't yet know what it means to be the adult. We know the definition of it, but we haven't. It's like we're still playing dress up a little bit. We put on our business suit and we go in to work. But on the inside, we still feel that we're just the intern, even though maybe we're not the intern anymore. But we still feel like that. We still feel that insecurity. We still feel that we have a lot to learn and that other people can play us and have power over us. That's the vulnerable time for the new sovereign. To find that balance where you react maturely and you do what you're supposed to do and you protect yourself. I think we can do it, but we have a large task ahead of us because you have to understand that there are some steps that we're going to have to go through as we enter this phase. The steps that we have to go through to redefine ourselves begin with an understanding that you have been lied to. You've been lied to, I've been lied to, everybody, everywhere has been lied to for a very, 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 very long time. And some of this was simply taking advantage of errors that our forebears made and leveraging it into unfair advantages, such as the Anunnaki did with the humans when they came back and were recognized as returning gods and said, oh, guess what? I guess we're just going to go ahead and let them believe that, because that way we can get them to work for us easier. Wrong decision. Understandable wrong decision. I can forgive them for it. That's part of it. We got to forgive, folks. We've got to forgive. Forgive yourself, too, while you're at it. Okay? You've been lied to. Okay, I was a patsy. I have a sick feeling in my gut that I have been lied to and played, and I have participated in a nasty system. I forgive myself for not knowing that, and I forgive my parents for not knowing that ahead of me. And I forgive their parents, and so on and so forth, back in time. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's true. They don't. They had no chance to know. That's why all of this stuff is fraud. You have to get, natural law requires informed consent. You have to get it. And some people will say, oh, natural law is not informed consent because otherwise then predators could not sneak up on prey. No. One of the first lessons a baby animal learns from the parent is this stuff can sneak up on you and to pay attention. They were informed. They neglected their duty. They got eaten. That's just the way it works. So it's not a cure-all. You still have to do your part. Because guess what? That little animal that's taking care of itself is sovereign. Because it's taking care of itself. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? We're not even as good as the animals right now. Because they know what we don't. We want people to come in and take care of us. We don't want to take care of ourselves. You try to put a wild animal in that situation, you're going to get a fight. That wild animal does not want you taking care of it. It wants to take care of itself and have its right to self-determine. And it will fight you for it. Just something to think about. Forgive yourself for it. Forgive yourself for feeling like you need to be taken care of or wanting to be taken care of. It's okay. You grew up with it. You learned to expect it. Understand those memes. When I say you grew up with it, that means that your parents and their parents or whatever, there was an ongoing thing to condition them to accept ever-increasing amounts of prescriptive behavior. The memes, the conditioned memes. The thought patterns, unconscious thought patterns that underlie all other thinking. The assumptions that one uses as one goes through one's life. All of those things have been conditioned for a very long time now. If you don't know that's happening, you can't defend yourself against it. If you don't understand that these ideas can be planted into your head, you don't know that it could happen, and you can't defend yourself. I ran into that when I ran into that CIA psyops jerk, and he was doing the NLP thing on me. I didn't understand what NLP, I didn't know NLP from Adam's off ox. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it could do. I didn't understand the first thing about it. I knew a little magic, and that's what saved me, because that gave me, if nothing else, it gave me sovereignty. If you are sovereign, there's bloody little anything can do to you permanently if they don't just, you know, even if they kill you, you can come back, because you're eternal. You're an eternal part of Source. There's very little they can do to you. And the higher developed you are, the lower down on the pyramid they have to go to hurt you. Literally. A realized being can only really be hurt physically. Think about that. Learn how to free your mind. Study these techniques, because they, not only can they be used as a weapon, they can be used to heal as well. It's a tool. NLP and mind control techniques can be used to heal as well. Learn them. Discover yourself with them. Heal yourself with them. Always keep the tool subservient to you. Put it under the condition of your heart. If your heart doesn't want to do something, don't do it. Because it knows what's good for you, and it will protect you. Find the ways to free your mind. Understand that your language has been messed with. And when you say something, you think you know what you just said. And when someone says something to you, you think you understand what it is they just said. But understand that the powers that pretend and their minions use language in a completely different way than we do. For example, study the difference between the way words are used in law, admiralty law, and the way they are used in common vernacular. That will give you a very quick primer on the misuses of language. That's how people get taken advantage of. They think they understand what they're getting into because the language that they're using does not match the language being used against them. So what they sign up for, their understanding of it is very different from the actual understanding that will be enforced. The powers that pretend have been using this principle against us at every turn. Look at the way they name government programs. If you read a government, if you read the name of a government program, you can tell what it is they're going to attack next, because they will put it right in the name, and they'll say that the bill's for such and such. Okay? Thing is, for does not mean pro. Does not mean it's pro, as in for and against, you know, non and pro. Go back to the Latin root. It just simply means it's going to apply to it. It doesn't mean it's going to help it. And a lot of the laws that are getting passed over the last several years have been for things, and that for has been a negative. The healthcare law is for healthcare. It's for destroying healthcare. That sort of thing. I'm not saying we don't need some help with that. We do. The situation is broken. They're breaking it more. We all do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. We will all be taken care of. We will be taking care of ourselves, and we will be taking care of each other. And it will get done. It does require you as a sovereign to get up off of your butt and do it. But do not take the handout, because the day you take the handout, you become a slave. You give up your sovereignty. All transactions are personal between sovereigns, and no other business should be admitted. That's really hard to do in this world. When I go to buy something and I need something, I have to buy it from a corporation, from a fiction. It's a fraudulent transaction from the point of natural law. But I can't get it from an individual yet. And that's what we need to change. We need to change the way in which that's done. Understand that your laws and your social contracts and your financial systems are all fraudulently based. Every single thing, as you go through your day, you're rubbing against something fraudulent. Something in a transaction that got you the thing was fraudulent. Something in the manufacturing of the thing is fraudulent. Simple as turning on a light switch. That light switch was probably made in China. It was probably the work was sent over there and done by somebody who, you know, was underage or underpaid or otherwise treated as a slave. And it was shipped at great expense to the environment, to here, where it could have been made here for, you know, maybe a little more money because we pay people better over here, but not such cost to the environment. And the price is depressed below what its actual cost is once you figured in all of the environmental impacts and stuff. So the price was a fraud. The fact that you paid with it with money was a fraud, because money is a fraud itself, etc. You turn on the light, you're getting power from fossil fuels or nuclear energy or something like that. You're probably not getting it from a renewable source, because fraudulently all those good power sources are being withheld from us. The knowledge to be able to free ourselves and create truly, you know, true energy independence is being withheld from us. So that's a fraud. It's all a fraud. Everything you do in your life is a fraud. It's based on a fraud. You're surrounded in fraud. We are the frog in the boiling pot. The pot's already boiling. It's already there. We're steeping in it. Now let me tell you, when I want to go back to what Carl Thomas had on there and the passage that I read to you, that declaration that was up there, that notice. Don't be too quick to follow anyone these days, because they're going to be popping up these false ones. And I don't know if that one for a fact is false, but it sure rings false to me. I invite you seriously to investigate for yourself and decide. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you're trading the old boss for the new boss, and they'd be the same boss in a different suit. Okay? Because that could happen way too easily. Follow your heart. Listen. Watch. Do the things that you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and things will work out. It really will. Now, the good thing about that thing that I read earlier, that notice, is it did lay out some things that are absolutely correct. They are exactly the right steps to take in regards to changing to a form of governance that is local. That's the first thing to do, is to pay attention to your community. Get control over your situation in your community and get your community together and explain quietly and carefully to people what the importance of having that community is, because you know, you even to the dumbest of these folks, the ones that have their head the most in the sand, you can tell them, well, you know, the day could come that we don't have the bailout. You've already seen that the bailout went to people that didn't really need it. Okay? We've already seen that. We can't count on getting help when we need it. So we need to be in a position where we know each other and trust each other and can help each other. I think even the most stupid head-in-the-sand person out there is going to understand that the day may come, something happens, and they're going to need the help of a neighbor. And that's a good idea to have a relationship with that neighbor and to have a reputation with that neighbor. Start where you are. Start with what you are and grow. And grow straight and tall and sovereign. It'll all work out. It really will. I'm going to go ahead and close the show at this point. And this is Saturn's Rings by Patru.